Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. How do we get to financial freedom? By building passive income, cash flow, from residential real estate investing, either in single family houses or apartments, multifamily. We buy those apartment communities. And have you ever stopped to think, are those, using economic terms, are those substitute goods? Can you substitute an apartment unit for a single-family house unit or vice versa? When a potential resident is out shopping, how do they view that? Do they even think about it in those terms? Well, I want to address a question that takes that from a slightly different angle. And it's based on an article, actually, that a listener recently sent me. It's titled, and this came out about a month ago, the title of the article reads, "How Much Do Multifamily Investors Need to Worry About Demand for Single-Family Rentals?" How much do multifamily or apartment investors need to worry about demand for rental houses, in other words? And this was an article in wealthmanagement.com, penned by Jen Elliott, late June. And it's an interesting question. And it is really a question of, I think, in essence, are these substitute goods? We'll get into that. And she penned this article in part because just prior to authoring this, there was a big event in the market, in the residential real estate market, namely big private equity giant Blackstone Group. You're probably familiar with Blackstone. They made a deal, $6 billion deal, to buy Home Partners of America. Well, who's that? Home Partners of America. Well, they own 17,000 single family rental homes across the United States. That's a big number. So why is a company like Blackstone going into single family? And this is just a recent deal. But it's an indication, as the article states here, that commercial real estate players believe the single-family rental sector will continue to be a solid investment for the foreseeable future. And that brings up the question, ooh, here I, as an investor, have been solely focused on multifamily. Do I need to worry? Do I need to worry? It goes on to say that the single-family rental market is blistering hot right now, as both private. And when they say private, they're I'm going to use the term mom and pop. They're talking about mom and pop investors. That's me. If you're new to the show, I'm in Dallas-Fort Worth. I joined Lifestyles Unlimited back in 2012. And my wife and I went down the single family path. We started buying single family houses, fixing those up, renting those out, enjoying the cash flow, becoming financially free based on that cash flow. And only recently started investing in multifamily as well. Other investors I know have gone the other direction, started in multifamily, stayed in multifamily, maybe shifted into single family, maybe done a little bit of both. But I'm that single family guy, and 100%, market is blistering hot. Here in DFW, Houston, San Antonio, across the nation, Phoenix, I don't care where you're looking, single family market is hot. In fact, I did a show a couple weeks ago where we talked about the rent growth. And we talked about rent growth from the point of view of apartments, what's happening there. It's up. And we talked about other asset classes, including single family. Ooh, single family's on fire, like we said, and it's enjoying its biggest rent growth in something like 15 years. So what's driving that? Among other things, home builders, and it says right here, even multifamily owners are expanding their business models to include single family, hoping to capture more yield than they would with their core properties, multifamily, building houses. In fact, home builders are out there building entire rental communities. Have you seen this? I've seen this around Dallas-Fort Worth. They're building entire communities that are single-family houses that are intended to be rentals. These are not properties that are for sale. These are rentals. So they've recognized the value and the demand for those single-family products. Now, institutional investors are getting into the game. Well, they've been in the game for a while, but we just saw a big deal, a lot of units changing hands. And in addition to the question, how much should multifamily investors worry about the demand for single-family rentals? I want to ask a corollary question. This came up with me as I read through this. And going back to that term mom and pop, and I don't use that as a pejorative. I use that to mean smaller investors that are not institutional. Should the non-institutional single-family investors like you and like myself, should we be worried about those institutional guys? Should I be worried about Blackstone? We'll probably get to that question in the third part of the show, so stay tuned. Let's find out. Now, if you are a single-family investor, I do have some great news for you. If you've got rental property, you own your own house perhaps as well. Not just good news for single-family investors, but anybody that owns a home that has some equity in it. You know, we talk on the shows about cash-out refinances and the rates where they are. It's a great time to do those. Well, a number of months back, late 2020, we talked at length about the adverse market fee. And this was a fee that the Federal Housing Finance Agency required Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Those are the two backers in the mortgage market that are steered or overseen by the FHFA that I just mentioned. And they were required to put into place an adverse market fee on refinances. What was that? That was a half a percentage point on any loan amount that resulted from a refinance. So if you refinanced $100K, you're going to pay $500. $200K, $1,000 extra as part of that transaction was what I want you to take away. The good news is that will be dropped. They've announced that will be dropped as of August 1st. So good news. That's actually caused the market, the interest rates in the market to dip a little bit. So if you've been thinking about single-family investor or single-family owner, owner-occupant, if you've been thinking about tapping into that equity, well, here's even better news for you. Go ahead and get it done. Get that cash out so you can get into what? Single-family, more investments in single-family or multifamily? I don't know. Which is best? Who's worrying about whom? We'll talk about that when we come back, so stick around.
Your challenge is that you don't believe you can be rich, is that you don't believe you can retire within 5 years. That's half of your challenge. And until you can come up with that belief system, until you can reconcile that in your mind, you won't be willing to take the steps necessary to get there. So you need to get in here and meet some people.
Join us for the next free workshop and meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited that will share Del Walmsley's belief system and empower you to take the steps you need to be successful. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange, and we bought three brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have three of her inherited properties and then three properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into three, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. And today we're going to answer a pretty big question, an interesting question. How much do multifamily investors need to worry about the demand in the market right now for single-family rentals? Are those substitute goods? Do we need to be concerned as multifamily investors? I was a long-time single-family-only investor. Well, now I've shifted gears into multifamily. Uh-oh. Should I have done that? We're going to answer that question. Now, if you have any questions today, this is a live show. The number here in the studio, it is 855-497-4335, or send me an email to askandy@lu, inc.com. One more time, that's 855-497-4335, or ask Andy at luinc.com. And we're leaning on an article here that a listener sent me recently. This article is just from about a month ago. It was on wealthmanagement.com. And it asks the question, in fact, the title of the article is, how much do multifamily investors need to worry about demand for single family rentals? And this question was posed in part by the author following the big deal, $6 billion with a B dollar deal by Blackstone Group to buy Home Partners of America, which owns 17,000 single family rental houses across the United States. Big numbers there. Big numbers. So should apartment investors be worried? And heck, as a corollary question in the first segment I posed to you, should we, if you're like me, you own single family houses, we're not those big, I don't have 17,000. I can tell you that. Do we need to be worried? And some very concrete questions that were posed early on in this article, aside from just the general worry, they asked more specifically, will single family rentals hurt multifamily properties, apartments, by stealing current residents and potential residents, potential renters? And here again, that kind of goes back to that economic notion of substitute goods. Are these really substitute goods? We'll talk about that. Another question they ask is, will occupancy and rental rates drop? And they're thinking here related to apartments, if more residents move to single family rentals. Now, it is worth noting, I go to a lot of groups. Certainly, Lifestyles Unlimited, obviously, is my big staying place. Case studies, single-family road trips, multi-family road trips, soon, the expo. We'll talk about that as well. But it's worth noting, in some of the smaller landlord groups, maybe more focused single-family mastermind groups I get together with, occasionally I'll hear those very questions, but reversed with respect to multifamily. Hey, what do you think about all the apartments that they're building that are about to come in line? Do we as single family owners need to be concerned about that? Polar opposite question. But I think a bigger question comes out of this article for you and for myself, the quote unquote mom and pop single family owners. Should we be concerned about what we're seeing going on with Blackstone? Now, thinking about substitute goods, why might a renter prefer single family to multifamily? And it's worth noting here in this article, they do point to data that shows that in fact about one third of single family rental residents do in fact come from apartments. So in that sense, single family is pulling some of that renter base away from apartments. And I can tell you, as somebody that's in the single family space, you know, my wife and I, we choose to self-manage our property. So I'm a little bit more hands-on. You don't have to do that. You can manage passively with a property management company and so on. Doesn't take a lot of time the way I'm doing it. But occasionally I have a house come on back on the market. Some had a lot of residents actually take advantage of those low interest rates and they are buying. Good for them. And good for me because, boy, with the demand we're seeing, we're getting those leased in no time at much, much, much higher rental rates. We're enjoying that bump in rates. But as we go through that leasing process, I have applications I use. And among other things, we ask, who is your, you know, give us your current address, property owner, management company, who do we talk to, and give us your prior one. And as part of both of those sections, there's a question in there, what's the reason for your move? What's the reason for your move? And commonly, right now in particular, more room. A lot of people have been pent up as part of the pandemic in apartments. They're, obviously, we're getting out and about. We're moving more now, but people went through a period of time where they hated it. I heard this a lot last year in 2020. I heard it a lot this year so far in the lease-ups we've been doing. I've got to get out of those apartments. I need more room. I need a backyard for the kids or for the dog. Some people are looking for a yard with a shed. A lot of my houses, I buy these houses that were owned by what I call the older guys. They've retooled them. They've added sheds. They've run electricity to the sheds. So they're a great workshop. A lot of people are looking for that. An attached garage. Or maybe they're just tired of the noise from above or from below. Prior to buying the house I'm in now, as an apartment, and I got to listen at 4 a.m. as the neighbor upstairs took her giant German Shepherd and her giant St. Bernard down the stairs prior to work. Stomp, 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 stomp. It was annoying. So people want to get away from that. Flip that on its head. Why might renters prefer multifamily to single family. Well, here I think you have to get a little more granular. Here we're thinking about that whole notion of substitute goods. Are they truly substitute goods? I think it depends on the demographic that we're talking about, as well as the class of apartment. And if you're new to multifamily apartment investing, we rate apartments on an alphabet basis, A, B, C, and D. A being the tippity top, that's all that new stuff that's coming online. D being the very bottom. B and C obviously in the middle, that's that workforce housing that we as investors at Lifestyles Unlimited like to target. So perhaps, you know, the multifamily renter is looking for, you know, in the past, I'd say that more urban setting. And in the past, I'd say wanting to be a little bit closer to work, thinking about downtown Dallas, maybe renting in uptown so they don't have as far to go. On came the pandemic. What's happening? Everyone's working from home. It's no longer a concern. That's changing. That's actually pulling some of that demand from multifamily into the single family space, by the way. But what does Class A offer? Those new builds are bringing along great amenities, pools, a gym, maybe two, business center, Wi-Fi for the residents, at least when they're in that business center, Friday night beer and brats with the, you know, friends at the community center or out at the pool. Step down a little bit, Class B, Class C, again, that's more workforce housing, maybe not as many amenities, but those rents are not nearly as high relatively as you're going to see in those Class A's, of course, those Class A apartments, as well as in those single family rentals that we're talking about. And of course, at least here in Texas, from a financial perspective, we don't typically rent our single family houses with refrigerators. So somebody moving out of an apartment into a house, what do they got to do? They got to buy a fridge, and they got to buy a washer, and they got to buy a dryer. We don't provide that stuff. And of course, the cost just to take over that property, security deposit. Think about apartments, $400, $500, $600, much lower. Typically, a buddy of mine just rented a house in Mesquite, $1,900 or so. His security deposit was a little bit above that, $1,950, something to differentiate it from the rent. Very big numbers to get into that house for that new renter. That might defer or deter people from moving from multi to single. But again, back to our concerns. How much do multifamily investors need to worry? Stick around. We're going to get to that here in a minute.
When you look at the effects of what happened in 2008 and you compare it to what we are hopefully coming out of right now, real estate has definitely shown its resiliency. It has provided for people not only a place to live, but a place to work, a place to raise their children, a place to teach their children, a place to prepare all of their meals.
And that's really where the rubber meets the road, is that there are two things that people have to have, and they strive very hard to have them, and that's a roof over their head and food on the table. And if you are investing in something related to either of those two things, you are going to have a winning strategy. And in addition to that, you're providing something of value to the people around you, and creating a win-win situation while creating wealth and passive income for yourself is the best life you can get.
Real estate is resilient. You should have real estate in your portfolio. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Andy Webb. And what do you think? How much do multifamily investors need to worry about the demand for single family rentals? Great question. Now, I'm invested in both. I guess I'm diversified in that sense. You know, you can do the same, of course. And if you want to learn more, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. There's a button at the top on our homepage there for the free workshop. You can register. It's free. It's an hour and a half. You do it from the comfort of your home online. And we'll dip our toes a little bit there into the two asset classes, single family and multifamily. Now, in the prior segment, we were exploring the notion of, are these substitute goods? Talked a little bit about why somebody might rent a single family house, why somebody might rent an apartment instead. There are different characteristics. And of course, it depends on the asset class within that group, the subgroup, I guess. For example, apartments, Class A, totally different thing than a Class D. Rents are going to be a lot different, a lot higher, a lot more amenities, newer product. So we're going to continue to explore this and get a little closer to that question about whether or how much multifamily investors need to worry. Now, if you have questions today, you can send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. So what are we seeing in the market for those single family houses, if those are in fact replacement goods for apartment units? We talked a couple weeks ago on the show about the rental growth we're seeing for both asset classes, and it's up for both asset classes. You're in a good space if you're in either one of those asset classes from that point of view, rent growth. What we learned during the course of that show, and again, you can find, if you miss that, you can go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on the radio button, do a search for rent growth. At the very bottom, there's a search bar. You may find that that way. But this is just a couple weeks ago. And among other things, we learned that the single family asset class in particular is enjoying massive growth in rents. Best growth we've seen in 15 years or so. So what's driving that? We've seen a steady increase in demand already in the past. And the expectation, again, per this article we're working through, is that that will continue for the next few years. That's why big players like Blackstone are getting into this space. Now, what's driving the demand? Big piece of that. Well, it's demographics and it's affordability. And we know that there is a shortage of houses for sale in the market right now. That's driving the craziness out there when you have multiple offers on a house for sale above list, above appraisal. People are going crazy. It's not affordable. And that shortage is driving that price growth on the sale side. Well, there's also a shortage of rental houses, and that's driving that price growth there as well. Why is there a shortage? Well, 2008, housing crisis, builders stopped building. And when they started building again, they built at the higher, in the higher spaces, the higher value properties. They've not been addressing the more affordable houses for more entry-level folks. Add on top of that, local regulations, code enforcements, or code requirement standards, those are driving up the cost to build. Add on top of that, material costs. They have been inflating anyhow, and they've obviously, we know, done so more so lately with the supply chain issues that we're seeing around the pandemic. And that is killing affordability. 74% of millennials cite affordability as the biggest reason to rent, affordability in the owner-occupant space, in other words. And the percentage of millennials that expects to, quote, always rent continues to increase. This population of renters, it's expected to grow. And here's the thing, the oldest end of that cohort of millennials, they're about 40 now. They're getting older. What are they doing? They're forming families, building, creating households. And as part of that, they're looking for more room, which you get in single family. At the other end of the age spectrum, baby boomers, what are they doing? They're capitalizing on that equity in their current houses, selling, and downsizing. But they've enjoyed their privacy. They want to keep that privacy, so they're renting single-family houses as well. They want to avoid the maintenance. Let you, landlord, you, rental owner, deal with that instead. It's interesting. We're in a unique nexus here where we've got three generations of renters in this space. My generation, Gen X, those millennials piling in, and those boomers piling in. So that demand is there. And again, it's expected to increase over the next few years. Now, countervailing point, especially for you, the single family investor, and here's where the question of, well, corollary question, should we be concerned about Blackstone and co, is the downward pressure on returns. And what we're seeing is that they are putting, here in the article, it states, over the past 18 months, billions, with a B, of dollars of institutional capital have flooded into the single-family rental space. What does that do? Well, when more people are buying those limited assets, those limited number of houses, it pushes up those prices. Of course, that contributes to affordability. And as prices go up, what happens to returns? Those go down. Institutional investors, per the article, are seeing returns somewhere between 6% and 10%, which is on the lower end now. Now, you have to remember, this is for the big hedge funds. They have very selective criteria when they're buying. But again, despite this downward pressure, the institutional interest from hedge funds, Blackstone and co, it is expected to continue. And of course, what we're seeing as well, a lot of that institutional money is essentially retargeting. They're pulling their funds out of investments in things like retail, shopping malls perhaps, or you know, storefronts not performing as well, and they're putting that into two classes, industrial and residential. Now, the bigger piece, good news for you and me, is going into industrial. But on the residential side, what are they doing? Well, since 2008, 13 years now, since 2008, institutional investors, and they define institutional as owning 100 or more houses in this case, or in Blackstone's case, 17,000 now, on top of whatever they owned before, but 100 or more. And since 2008, these institutional investors have bought over 300,000 houses. 300,000 houses. Big number. Since 2008. So back to our corollary question. Let's address that one first. Should the mom and pop, and I'm using that term to mean the non-institutional investors, I operate, people would call me a mom and pop operator, but I run my business as a business, and I hope you do as well. But should the, and I'm going to continue to use that term, mom and pop investor, single family investor, worry about those, that institutional demand for single family? Now back to that 300,000 houses bought since 2008. 300,000, it sounds like a lot. But if you take the overall pool or portfolio of houses across the nation, single family, it's a small number. It represents 2% of the total U.S. single family rental market. Are you surprised? Sounds like a big number, 300,000. It's just 2%. That have been acquired by these institutions over 13 years. 2%. Compare that to multifamily, where institutional investors own 55% of the sector, much bigger number. Of course, we're talking about much bigger numbers to get into those assets as well. Another interesting statistic for you, mom and pop investors represent 80%, this is per the article, 80% of the single family rental market. Now, if you want to learn more about demographics, I did a show back in January, late January, where we looked at who are America's rental owners, looking at demographics, who are those mom and pops? Again, if you go to the Lifestyles Unlimited website and scroll down to the bottom, there's a search bar. Type in demographics, you'll find that show. Again, 80% of the single family rentals are owned by mom and pops. So what are the hedge funds buying? Maybe that's a question we should ask if we're in competition with them. Well, it varies. It varies, but a lot want those 80 builds or newer. Why? Well, less maintenance, up-to-date electrical, plumbing's PVC already, less to deal with, won't have to do a major rehab to get it rent ready. That means you, mom and pop, can target those older properties. We're going to finish out this conversation, that corollary question, when we come back and address the main question of whether multifamily investors should be concerned. Stay tuned.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the five ways to make money with real estate: cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb, and we're answering a very good question today. How much do multifamily investors need to worry about demand for single-family rentals? And this is based on an article that a listener sent me. This was from wealthmanagement.com, published just about a month ago. And published after Blackstone Group, big hedge fund, equity fund, inked a $6 billion deal to buy Home Partners of America, which owns 17,000 single-family rentals. A lot of activity in the single-family rental space by those institutions. And we were addressing in the prior segment the corollary question to the multifamily fear, which is, should you and I, single-family investors, mom and pop, those non-institutional investors, should we be worried? Well, let's ask, just what are those hedge funds buying? Now, it varies based on hedge fund, based on goals, based on pool of funds, based on location, but a lot of them are looking for newer builds, mid-80s or even newer. Again, because that product was built with PVC plumbing, not the cast iron stuff you find on the older houses. Newer electrical, just generally newer product. Less to do to get it rent ready. They don't want to do massive lifts, massive rehabs. That means you, again, you and I, single family investor, smaller player, we can target those older properties. And by the way, I tend to get better returns because I'm getting them at a better price, less competition. Sure, there's more work to do, but with the right team, and that team which I've built through Lifestyles Unlimited, with the help of the realtors, with the help of all the vendors on the vendor hub and the mentors, we've been able to get it done and get it done very, very well. And also, as we speak right now, it's important. It's very important to consider this. I was talking, in fact, with one of those realtors, the lead realtor at Lifestyles Unlimited, just a few weeks ago, and she pointed out that hedge fund buying is starting to taper off right now in the calendar year. We're a little over middle of the year. Why is that? Well, like any big institution, they start with a budget, and they are starting to deplete their acquisition budget now. So they're buying less. In fact, an anecdotal evidence towards that, talking with a wholesaler, he asked the same question. He said, where are the hedge funds? He's getting deals under contract, likes to sell them to those hedge funds because guess what? They pay a lot. Where are they? They've disappeared. Budgets are depleting. And that means that you and I should see less competition from those institutional players in the second half of the year. And again, strategy. Those institutional investors, think about their strategy and in the market that they're looking at. They tend to look for markets where they can scale. It's going to be a market like Dallas-Fort Worth, or Houston, or San Antonio, or Austin, or Phoenix, or Atlanta, where they can take down what they call clusters of houses. So that why? Well, they can operate their ongoing operations in a single space, in a single clustered area. Maintenance guy can hit all the houses he needs to hit very, very easily that way. They're essentially trying to recreate apartments in that sense with the proximity. So they're unlikely to target smaller MSAs, metropolitan statistical areas. They're looking for those bigger ones and those secondary and those tertiary markets. And I'll tell you, I see a lot of investors at Lifestyles Unlimited going out to those tertiary markets and doing very, very well. If you're in Dallas, I'm talking about places like Sherman, I'm talking about Tyler, I'm talking about Wichita Falls, going down to Waco, Corsicana, just to throw out a few. A lot of opportunity and less competition. So back to the corollary question, should you and I, should the mom and pops be worried about those institutional investors? No. Yes, there will be a little bit more competition in certain spots, certain markets, certain asset types, ages. But again, 80% of the market, that's you and me, 80% of the market. And again, only 2% of the houses bought, 2% of the houses over the course of 13 years were bought. Well, I should rephrase that. 2% of the total pool of houses were bought by institutional investors. Very, very small number. Now, what about you apartment guys and gals out there? How much do multifamily investors need to worry about Blackstone and co? Well, I didn't tip my hand. If you read the article at wealthmanagement.com, the title again is How Much Do Multifamily Investors Need to Worry About Demand for Single-Family Rentals? Skip a space, double space, down to the subtitle. It says, while the single-family rental sector has been posting strong growth, and I second that, its success is likely to benefit multifamily properties, experts predict. Huh. It's likely to benefit multifamily properties. How is that? I'm going to jump ahead here a bit, jump around a bit, in fact, and they cite a gentleman named Vincent Dorio. He's a vice president of a corporate development for Atlas Real Estate. And I find this is an interesting couple of comments he makes. Above all, or first and foremost, earlier in the article, they comment on the two. We talked earlier in the show about substitute goods. Is a house a substitute good for an apartment unit or vice versa? And no, they're not really. The people interviewed for this article, they view these as complementary asset classes rather than being in direct competition with each other. And again, they cite the drivers that we talked about already, which is the massive shortage of single family houses that are for sale. It's driven a lot of buyers to become renters, either as single family renters or multifamily, supporting demand on both sides. But back to this gentleman, Vincent Dorio. He says everyone's trying to get into the single family space, and they're interesting because what are they doing? They've just signed a JV deal to invest $250 million, $250 million of equity into single family houses. So are they just getting solely into the single family space? No. This company also manages, owns 5,000 apartment units. They focus, by the way, on apartments less than 100 units. Sounds a lot like what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. That's an interesting thing. He says, I don't think apartment owners do feel threatened by single family. Single family and multifamily are providing much needed housing solutions. And at the end of the day, and I love this phrase, we're both providing residential housing. We're swimming in the same ecosystem. We're complementary. We're swimming in the same ecosystem. The pie is big enough for the single family investor, and the pie is big enough for the multifamily investor. And it goes on to say that the rising rents, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago on the show, the rising rents that we're seeing in the single family space, that will benefit multifamily investors as well. How will it do that? Well, on one side of the coin, the multifamily rents will track a bit, not one-to-one necessarily, but will track a bit with single family rents as those increase. But the bigger issue will be as single family rents approach a certain level, as they get higher and higher and higher, at some point, and again, thinking back to the notion of apartment units as a substitute good for single family houses, we talked about the fact that especially when you get down to the workforce housing level, Class B, Class C, rents just simply are lower for that apartment unit compared to a house. So as that single-family house rent goes up and up, at some point, multifamily becomes the more affordable option, the more attractive option. But ultimately, again, I like this notion that we are swimming in the same ecosystem. Ecosystem is a word I like to use a lot on this program because it describes very well what I have experienced at Lifestyles Unlimited as an investor there, as somebody that has worked with the mentors, as somebody that has worked with the vendors that I find on the vendor hub, as somebody that works with other investors and talks to other investors and shares deals and information. The ecosystem there is very, very strong. So now we've dispelled, I hope, any concerns about multifamily and single family. Again, the pie is big enough for both. Single family investors, don't be worried about those big institutional guys. Find your niche. There's plenty of opportunity. Multifamily investors, don't be worried about those big institutional guys that are taking down those single family houses. Is the single family rental market a threat? No. We're swimming in the same ecosystem. So now that I hope, have dispelled those concerns, as you think about investing in rental real estate, maybe you're already an investor, maybe you're looking to get started, which is the right asset class for you of those two? Is it multifamily? Is it single family? I can't answer that for you. I started out with single family, built up a portfolio over 9 years, and have now shifted to investing passively in multifamily. We're doing both. You can do both. And if you want to learn more, I already mentioned at the earlier part of the show, our free workshop, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on the button at the top, and you can learn about that free workshop. Sign up, do it from home, online. It's a live course. You can ask questions as the presenter presents, or more importantly, just about 6 weeks out, we have our Wealth and Passive Income Expo coming up right here in my neck of the woods in Dallas, Fort Worth at the Irving Convention Center at Las Colinas. That's going to be Friday and Saturday, September 3rd and 4th. Great place to go to learn about what single family and what multifamily. Which part of that pie do you want to get involved with? Maybe both. But act fast. I was just checking the website and a number of the packages are sold out. So we're running out of time for you to register. If you want to learn more, again, go to wealthandpassiveincomeexpo.com. Use my name, Andy, A-N-D-Y, all caps, for $97 off any of those remaining passes. or packages. I want to see you out there. I'll be out there. I'd love to talk with you. Single family, multifamily, what's the best way to go? Hey, get out there and enjoy a part of the pie either way. Thank you for listening today. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a good day.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.